Well, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about a Christian in the age of the internet, the superhighway of super technology that we're living in, this age where we've got Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube videos and TV day and night and radio and music and entertainment, all, every which direction we might look. Do you think God might have a word for us about those things today? I mean, certainly those things didn't exist in biblical days. They didn't have Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff. But do you think God has a word for us about that? Or is he sitting up there in heaven just has nothing to say? Well, I'm sure and I know he does have something to teach us about this world in which we're especially living in these last days, filled with these super internet and entertainment highway of information being thrown at us all over the place. And so let's take a look today what God would teach us and speak to us through his word about this age in which we're living, which I might call the age of entertainment. First of all, if you think about it, our world that we're living in is so different from that of our forefathers, wouldn't you say? They were out on the farm, they were out at sea, they were at their jobs. They were out in nature, and they worked and worked and worked. Didn't have a whole lot of time off, but when they did have time away from their work, what did they do? Came home, and they usually had dinner together as a family at the table. Wow, a forgotten tradition amongst some. They had a fire at night, nature's TV, stared into the flames. Then they talked. Oh, my goodness. Had face-to-face communication, one person to another. They read a book. Probably many read the Bible. They made their own music. Imagine that, making your own music. They played marbles, and they gazed into the stars and whatever else. Occasionally, the town or the church or the county would get together and have a fair or a festival or a picnic. And if you were fortunate enough, maybe your family would go to the beach or a hike. You know, then came the 1900s with the increase of technology. I remember my dad said when he grew up, it was radio. Do you remember those days? He would sit at night in the dark and listen to the Lone Ranger. He actually raised me doing some of that too, and I loved it. And then we had a TV came along, and at first there was one station. Then they went from what? From channel like 2 to channel 13, but only some of those channels worked and others didn't. Then we had a movie come to town, usually just one movie at the cinema, Roy Rogers or something like that. TV turned from just 13 channels into 70 with cable and then to 700 with satellite. Cinemas went from one movie to 3 to 9 to 15. Entertainment. We got home computers in the 1970s, and then now everybody has a computer, and you even got it on your phone now. I remember when the internet first came out in the 1990s, I remember being really freaked out a little bit because it was called the web. And I was like, I just see some sort of big spider there ready to trap me. And you know what? I don't think I was that far off. iPhones. We've got phones. Remember the dial phone where you used to have to go like this and your little pinky or finger got hurt a little bit? And then came answering machines. I was so excited because I remember a friend of mine at school, in high school, called and we just got an answering machine. He called me 20 times for the science homework. Finally, I just went, turned on the answering machine. And he's like, Greg, I know you're there. Pick up, Greg. I was like, I'm so happy the answering machine got invented. Do your own homework. Then our phones came along, and they were just phones, but then they turned into computers. And then our social place for family albums, and then our restaurant finders, and our navigators in our cars, and answering basically any question we had for them. Whereas we used to surf on the ocean, which we do occasionally still, now we surf on the internet, superhighway. A virtual world that's not really real, but it's kind of real, but it's not really real. And you can do this and be entertained 24/7, 365 days a year. Amen? You can really get into it. Star Trek has nothing of this 1960s, has nothing on this generation. Our ancestors lived in a very different time. And does God have anything to say about our days and all this super chance at entertainment that we have today? Is there a godly Christian perspective? Well, if you think about the internet, it can be good. And it is good, can be used for good by Christians, right? I mean, you go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. What's the commission given to Christians? Especially to pastors, but all Christians, it says, preach the word. You got it. Preach the word, be urgent in season and out of his season, convince, rebuke, exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. Can the internet be used for that? I mean, I'm preaching to how many people here today? 70, 80, something like that. If I go on the internet, I could preach this, you know, not just to 100 people, but to 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, 10 million people. That could be a good thing, a good use of the internet, if you're preaching the truth. It can also, for the second part of this verse, be very helpful. For it says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. So false teachers, you can research them. I do this all the time. You can research, where did I put my phone? My phone, where is it? Don't you get like that, a little addicted, you know? You can research a false teacher so fast on here. Just hit in, you know, false teacher exposed or something, and you can see all kinds of sites and check it out really fast and see whether that's someone you should listen to or not. That's a good thing. It's also really kind of neat to be able to interact with our friends. This is something God wants us to do, not neglect meeting together, Hebrews 10 says, but to encourage each other as we see the day drawing near. Don't you see that in Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? You could do that. Beth has a great ministry with her friends and her friends' ministry to her, where they encourage each other in Christ, share good things, try to lift each other up, counsel each other, get connected. Beautiful thing, once again. Besides, I love the fact that on my phone I can find out all kinds of things. I go out sailing in the old days when I first got my boat and I had to look at a storm and judge it by my eyes. Now I just go on here, turn it on, go over here, get my radar up, and I can see exactly what's happening. I love that. You can ask it any question you want. What question should we ask? How many feet are there in a Bible, Siri?
Checking my sources. Okay, I found this on the web for how many feet are there in a Bible.
Oh, did I say Bible? See, she's very smart, too. I meant in a mile. She will tell you. She's very perceptive, this woman. Just like most women, they'll remember every word you say and use it against you. Okay, but at any rate, so there's a lot of good things that you can use the internet for, and that's a blessing to Christians in our day and age. But we also need to be very careful. God has a word of warning for us about this, I believe, in Ephesians chapter 5. If we'll turn over there, we read this. Paul says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you think that internet and our ability to get on at any time, all day long, all week long, could possibly interfere with making the most of the time? Could be a great waste of time? Do you know in my life, sometimes when I'm tired at the end of a day and I want to say, I'll just go on and watch a little three-minute video. I watch a little three-minute video on YouTube or something, but then it gives me another video to watch, and I watch that one. That's five more minutes. Then I watch another one, and there's another 7 minutes. And it's video and video. Pretty much, I've then wasted the whole evening watching videos. Does that ever happen to you? Now, I know some of you are still stuck in the 1800s. I'm not talking to Dale Kuhn, okay? Just kidding. Not the 1800s, the 1950s. Okay. But if you have computer and internet and YouTube and Netflix and Hulu and Instagram and Facebook, it can be a great time waster. And God tells you, be wise, Christians. Don't fall into this trap. Escape it. You've got to make the most of the time. The days are evil. And this might not be the best use of your time. Because as I look over here at a research I did on the internet, CNN came out with something in November 2015 that reported that U.S. teens spend an average of 9 hours a day on internet, social media, entertainment. 9 hours a day. That's, and adults, another said, spend 4.7 hours a day on their phones. How many hours, how much time do you spend on your phones? Some check their social media, you know, Twitter accounts and Facebook, etc., 17 times a day just to check in whether their friend from high school from years ago had something, what they ate for lunch, right? Other countries do it 40 times a day. Would you see it can be addictive? I remember the days, I'm sure you do too, where you'd leave the home, you never even thought about a phone because nobody had a phone. Now you leave home and you're like, oh, where's my phone? I left my phone. I've got to go get my phone. What if I have an accident? I need to call somebody. I need my phone. Where's? What does that sound like to you? Drug addict, maybe? I need my phone. Where's my phone? I need to have my phone. Beth said this to me when I was talking about it. We're starting to become afraid of silence. Like we can't sit and have nothing to do or just even spend in silence before the Lord. We've got to have the phone. We've got to be seeing something filling our minds. Are you falling into that trap? God says, look carefully how you walk. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. And why do we need to make the most of the time? Because we know Jesus has told us that there is a limited amount of time that we have on this earth and a day of reckoning is coming where we must stand before the Son of Man, like we read in the gospel. We must stand there and give an account of our lives. If you spend 9 hours a day, just I don't think you do, but 9 hours a day out of a 12-hour day. How many years would you spend in 12 years then? 9 out of 12. 9 years of your life doing nothing but entertainment out of 12? I don't think I'm going to go to the Lord with that. Do you? Jesus told a parable about a good use of time. He says this in Luke chapter 16, that there was a rich man who had a steward, a manager, who was managing his goods. And charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So the guy calls in the manager, what's this they hear about you? Turn in the account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And the steward said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking away the stewardship from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. Here's what I'll do. And so he, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? 100 measures of oil, said the man. And he said, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. To another, he said, how much do you owe? 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. Then when he came to the accounting day, the master commended the dishonest steward for his cleverness, his shrewdness, his wisdom. Jesus says, for the sons of this world are more clever and wise in their dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Then Jesus says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous man and mammon, money, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal habitations. Do you get it? It's a hard parable, but let me explain it here. Is Jesus telling us to misuse our money? Answer. Is he telling us to be dishonest in our dealings? Are we to imitate this man in his wickedness? No. How are we to imitate this man? This man knew that there was a day of reckoning coming. He was in trouble, and he spent every inch and power of his energy and use of his time to make sure he got everything right to secure for himself a good future in the day to come when the day of reckoning came. And Jesus wants us to be the same way, to make super amazing use of our limited amount of time to secure for us the best future that we can for ourselves in the world to come with our lives now. How much time do you have in this life? Only a small little span, a wisp, a tiny bit of time. And Jesus says, make the most of your time. Look carefully how you walk. Because I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he's done. And each shall receive his wages according to his labor. So would you say that for some of us, the temptation can be that this little device could steal a lot of our time? stealing away. I mean, I find it with myself, all of them bits of you. I get on here sometimes when I'm tired and boom, 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 it's an hour later. Or maybe on your, you know, on your TV or on the radio or whatever else. It can be good, it can be uplifting, good, but it can waste your time. So be wise. So what should we be doing with our time? You tell me. What should we be doing? Luke chapter 10, I'll tell you. Okay, you didn't answer me, I'll answer you. There we go. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we saw that Jesus entered a village, and there was a woman there named Martha, and she received him into her house, and she had a sister, Mary. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his word. And Martha, you know, was distracted. She had with much serving, and she went and said to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Look, I've got dishes and I've got preparations and I've got all this stuff to do." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious. You're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary's chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." What's the good portion? The word of God. Hearing the word preached. This is what we ought to really make sure we spend our time on as Christians. Hearing Jesus speak to us through the scriptures by the Holy Spirit. For, as we said in the children's sermon, the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And when you do, you're like a tree planted by streams of water. And even in days of droughts, you're still green because you're getting fed the water of the word. Don't you want to be like that? If you get fed on this all the time with entertainment, right? You're going to wilt over in the day instead of be strong. And wouldn't you love also to hear word preached to you like face to face like this? There's a danger sometimes. What if I were to say, or what if a pastor were to say to the shut-ins, "Well, I'll send you a video of myself every month. That should be good enough." Well, would that be nice? Would that be enough for your shut-in never to meet the pastor face to face and just get a video sent on the email? You know, there's something missing there, wouldn't you say? Yes? There'd be something really wrong there. Even though they might get the word, that'd be good, but there's something missing when you don't have it face to face. And so the Lord sends out people to give it face to face. So let's sometimes get off of our phones, get face to face with people, have a real talk in a real world, in a real conversation. Sit up, get some fresh air, hear some real live preaching, and preach it to each other. Amen? My goodness. You know, sometimes you have the Neanderthals were like this, all hunched over. Then we became erect. This is according to the old false textbooks. And then eventually we get back to this again. All hunched over our phones. So goes the joke. Right? So, the word. We also got to be careful, God says, because on the internet, there's so much good, but there's also evils coming looking for you. You know what? Art, I remember that time when I called you and we were trying to look up something on the email from a couple days ago. I just went onto the email to find Art's email from like 3-4 days ago. On my way there, do you know I was assailed by wicked, seductive temptation messages on the side of my computer just trying to find Art's email? Like, we counted them. I said, "Look at this, Art," 7 times by the time I got to just that email. Do you know that you don't have to go looking for evil on the internet? It comes looking for you. And so God says, be wise, be wary, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is roaring around like a roaming lion seeking someone to devour. Be alert, be on guard. There are a lot of hidden agendas in that which we watch. I mean, the Star Trek movie that came out. I haven't seen it yet. I hear it was a good movie, but Lieutenant Sulu, he's got a husband and they got a little child. He, that is, has a husband and a little baby that they're taking care of. Now, that was not a big point of the movie, I hear, but notice, it's an agenda. It's getting slipped in. Do you think that the people that are in charge of most of what's on the internet are really after your faith in Jesus Christ to be built up or to be built down and destroyed? We got to be careful there. Don't be deceived, says Paul. Bad company ruins good morals. Come to your right mind. He says, Psalm 119 says, "Turn away my eyes from looking upon vanities." empty things. Psalm 101 says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is base. You know, your eye is the lamp of your body. Whatever goes in here, watch out, lest the light in you be darkness. Some of the things like in Beyonce, one of the famous singers of our day, she's publicly admitted that she becomes sexy and aggressive in her performances because of a spirit that comes into her, she says, named Sasha Fierce. Oprah Winfrey has said, I ask my body to be the carrier for the spirits who have come before me. I tried to empty myself and let the spirit inhabit me. Do you think that's the Holy Spirit? Johnny Depp says, told U.S. Magazine, I know I have demons. I'm 30 different people sometimes. That's the guy from, Pirates of the Caribbean. Robin Williams, who later committed suicide, said, yeah, it's literally like possession. All of a sudden you're in and you just get this energy start going. In the old days, they'd burn you for it. So do you think they have your best interest in mind, oh Christians? God's speaking to you now. This device can be great. I love a lot that's on here. You should use it, but be careful of what also comes there. How much better if you're to go to the Lord and say, I spent the last, 9 years of my 12 years of life or something in the Word, in prayer, with Christians, seeking your kingdom and offering that to the Lord. You know what you'd look like? Your friends and your acquaintances would come to you and say, whoa, where have you been? I've just been hanging out on the internet. What's up with you? Because Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near to him. What do you think if we spent the same amount of time that we have on these kinds of devices with God? In praise, in worship, in the Word, memorizing it, in prayer, do you think you might come and be like shining? And your friends go, whoa, what? Where have you been? I've been on YouTube. That doesn't look like YouTube to me. That's powerful. I want that. We all, with unveiled face, says Paul, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Say amen if that's what you want. Faith comes from what is heard, says Paul. What's heard comes by the preaching, the word of Christ. This, you hear one thing, here you hear something else. This is what's going to give you salvation. This just gives you entertainment. And Romans 8 says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And you can do that on the internet too. But what I'm saying is face-to-face has got to be superior to internet videos. Don't you agree? Face-to-face with God, face-to-face with each other, that's the real world, not the virtual world. We want a real God, real relationships, real family, real conversations, real outdoor adventures with our family, real music, real everything. And God says, be wise and walk in those things today. They're here for you. Giving God 1 hour of 12 hours equals 1 year of every 12 years. 9 out of 12 would be 9 years out of 12 years. Well, we give him everything. And why? Because he's given everything to us. And here, we're getting toward the end, but watch this. Jesus Christ could have been distracted in his life. It can happen to any of our ancestors, but Jesus, guess what? He was led to be, the devil wanted to distract him on that mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Anything you want, Jesus. Entertainment, pleasures, all the kingdoms of the world, all the glory of them I'll give you if you'll bow down and worship me. And what does Jesus answer? Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The devil offered him the world of entertainment. Jesus says, I'll take the word of God, thank you. Begone. And he set his face like flint, says Isaiah. Like flint, without any distractions, on a very clear purpose to the salvation of our souls. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. It says in Luke chapter 9, and he said it was to give his life as a ransom for many, for our salvation. And he was nailed to the cross on the third hour at 9 a.m. He suffered, bled, and died. On the ninth hour, he gave up the spirit at 3 p.m. Would you say that's the best use of 6 hours I've ever heard of in the history of the world? He didn't waste his time. He got up there and atoned for the sins of all mankind, forgiving us all of our sins on that cross. The best use of time, very clear, like Flint was our Lord. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins in his name. So, when it comes to the internet, go for it. Enjoy the good that's on there. Your friends and all that kind of good stuff and the Word of God and even some entertainment with your family. Fine. But make wise use of your time and seek the Lord face to face. Seek each other, my goodness, face to face. Put this away. Live in a little silence. Enjoy your family. Start a conversation. Make some real music. Be built up in the way of the truth. Because the world, guess what? It's going down a stream on a raft heading for Niagara Falls. We got to paddle upstream, striving for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus to a kingdom, to a mountain lake, to green pastures, and to our shepherd who's waiting there, who will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." In Jesus' name, amen.